It's great to have you in church this morning. I trust you are enjoying the beautiful sunny weather. Like my dad always used to say, the weather is always perfect in Alberta. If you believe that, you don't live here very long. But it's such a beautiful day, and thank you for coming and joining with us. I do want to put in a plug for camp. You know, we're going through these stories that after the resurrections, these days where Jesus showed himself alive and he's spoken to his disciples and told them to wait. And this morning we're going to carry on with that story. And they spend 10 days. And so we only have 7 days till camp on the day of Pentecost. So we're going to stay in church for the next 7 days. And we're going to fast and pray and be united in prayer as the disciples did. And then on the day of Pentecost, next week at camp, it's going to be fantastic. Is that okay? Maybe we'll pray for 10 minutes. How's that? Let's be real about ourselves. I know me. It's amazing. Just kind of the plan of God. And we're talking about being united in prayer, and he's challenged them to wait. And they, as you're going to read in the scripture in a second. And I just want to encourage you to be in prayer this week. If you can take a day to fast, take the week to fast. Whatever. Some people, the issues you're facing, you could fast this whole week to see some of those things broken. Prayer works. Prayer and fasting is God's plan to change lives and to change hearts. So give some time this week before camp. Is that okay? I'm looking forward to camp, looking forward to what God's doing. But it's not about a particular weekend. It's about a walk with Jesus. And yeah, we have those highlights, but we've got to walk out this Christian life together. So that's my message is today, the united in prayer. Let's read in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. You can put that verse up. All these, can you say all these?
All these.
All of these. All of these. Everybody who was there. All of these. With one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Amen. Lord, bless your word this morning. I thank you for your infallible, holy word. And I pray, God, this morning that you would stir our hearts into prayer. You would stir our hearts in devotion. You would stir our hearts in unity and being together. I pray, Father, for this church, and I pray for your church in the city and wherever people are meeting today, that we would remember you and remember your challenge, remember your command to be your people, to be united, to be together, to take the kingdom of God forward. I pray this morning that your word would speak loud and clear, and your spirit would be here to bless today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. So, first of all, let's look at a definition. I've done the work for you. You can put up the next one, please. One accord. I just want to talk about one accord. One accord. The Greek word homothymadon. You see, I know a little Greek. He lives up the street from me. But that's an old, old preacher's joke. But I'm glad some still laugh. That's good. Homo, meaning the same or together. Thymos, meaning mind, passion, or spirit. Conveys the idea of being united in purpose, passion, and mindset. Amen? Amen? We are to be homo. Thymadon. You're going to remember that. I know that. It's a deep inner unity, not just external agreement, but a shared heart, will, and commitment. It's a passion. I like those couple of words there. Passion. Same spirit or spirit. Mind. Same attitude. What's your worldview? Your passion, your spirit, what's behind it? what's motivating us. And they come together in one accord, this one purpose, this one passion drives them and motivates them. And I don't want to spend a long time on this, but it's like, what's your passion? What's our passion? People say, well, what's the vision? The vision is for us to be together in one accord. How about we start there? How about just come together for a purpose, for one purpose, for lifting up Jesus, for bringing the kingdom of God to this part of the city, to this part of the country, and beyond? What if we just get behind one another and say, we are together in this. What can we do? And we talk about passion. I like that word. You can only have passion for one thing at a time. You can't have about 100 passions. What's your passion? What motivates you? When we're talking about spirituality and our walk with God and our commitment to Him, do you have a passion? Do you have a mindset, a worldview, a value system that's in line with the church, with what Jesus is building? And particularly in this church, following leaders, following a group of people and saying, hey, I'm with you, I'm committed. And if it's not here, then find a group and get committed to them. I always joked, you know, the old comedian, he said, I'm not going to marry another woman. I'm just going to find another woman that hates me and buy her a house. Just save a lot of time. I'm not going to, you know, just find another church you don't want to attend and carry on. No, it's find a place where God knits your heart. Hearts knit together. That's what we value. You know, we can talk about our values. We can talk about our where we're at, but that's what it's about, doing life together. Friendship before function, just the idea of coming together with passion and with mind and spirit, saying, hey, we're together in this. What are we going to accomplish together? And some people want like some big agenda. No, how about just loving one another? Let's start there. How about just being honest with one another? How about just talking and fellowshipping and carrying one another's burdens and taking some food over when a baby's born or visiting a hospital or, you know, just down-to-earth stuff. We get that stuff right. There's nothing we can't do together. We could change the world. We can change the community together. We are, and that's the power of the gospel. You say, what's the church doing? Well, the church is reaching you. That's what we're doing. We're equipping each other. We're equipping you to walk in the Lord, to walk in the Word of God, to have an understanding of what Christian life is about, and then serving one another and caring for one another. And I still love the picture of little children, my little granddaughter, growing up. I got lots of grandkids in here. Hallelujah. And them growing up and finding friends and running out of here, tackling one another to get to Sunday school first, or cheering about camp. The days will come when they're in the lighthouse and they're studying and they're partying and they get to be teenagers and they get engaged and they get married and they have kids and they take over the world. That takes united together. It takes commitment. It takes a lifetime. What's your passion? What do you have passion for? Do you have a passion for the house of God, for the things of God? I'm asking you to stand with us, pray with us, get behind us to say, let's do this together. Passion is the opposite of apathy, and I preached that 1,000 times. Oh, the apathy, without passion. Apathy is the opposite. You don't hate it, you don't love it, it's just, who cares? And not as lukewarm, and Jesus says, I'll spit them out of my mouth. Rather be hot or cold, but this apathetic mixed. And there's so much of the Western church that's like that. And we're not facing death, and we're not facing persecution, and we're kind of just sort of used to this thing, and it drives me crazy because I got too many friends that are writing me and texting me and sending emails and whatever. And if it's just like, it's heaven or hell, life and death. And we cannot just be neutral. No decision is a decision. And where do you stand? Where do I stand in the things of God? You don't have to plan. You know, it's kind of like drifting. I don't want to repeat everything from the last couple of weeks, but let me repeat it anyhow, because you won't remember it till next week. We never drift towards the good stuff. We never drift towards a passion for God and for His. We don't. We've got to be intentional. But it's like losing the ability to play the guitar. You know, I can actually play the guitar, but I'm losing that ability because my fingers are little girly fingers. No, that's misogynistic. They're little pansy fingers. I don't know what word to use. What do you use for little soft fingers? Dr. Brad, help me. Give me the right words. But, like, I don't have to hate the guitar. I just neglect it. Just don't play it. And I lose it. It's, you understand? You neglect. You don't care. You don't have a spirit, a passion for it. It goes away. You lose it. It's like my singing voice. Yeah. What are you losing as far as the passion, the mind, the spirit, the devotion? Devotion's coming. The one accord, being together, the homothymadons of the world. What are you allowing to drift? Well, I don't really have time for a prayer meeting. I don't really have time for a life group. I really don't have time. You know, we're joking, but sometimes it's not a joke, but it's kind of like, okay, we'll go to 2 life groups a month instead of every week. And, well, why don't we just shut them all down and stay home? Everybody be free. Just, if that's what makes us happy, then just never meet together. And that's not what we're saying. But I'm challenging. What area of sameness or togetherness, passion for it, the mind for it, are you allowing to just drift? I'm telling you, if we do not fight for it, this is a message for camp. What I love about camp, you actually pay money to get there. You got to drag sheets and lay on plastic mattresses. Not all of them. There's a few. I'm taking my own trailer, so I got my own bed. But I'm sparing a beautiful bed for someone. I'm only thinking of you. Yeah, you see, you know my heart. That's why I dragged the biggest fifth wheel in the city over there, just to have, for your sake. Now, I forget what I was saying, but it doesn't matter. But preparing for, what I love about camp is the effort you put in, the anticipation. Kids, you hear them. They remember from last year. I know Pastor Frank is coming fired up, and I know you guys are not going to be able to just sing. You're going to be all on your best behavior, because I know he's going to get you. But it's what happens at camp. So it's just this, you put the effort in, we wait on God, and he's just available to us. And sometimes in church services like this, it just, the prophetic just flows. It's just easy. You just see someone, you pray with someone. It's just, God is here speaking to us. And so that's the number one. I said I wasn't going to talk long about it, but I'm a liar. So then, second one, they're with one accord, devoting themselves. Let me just do the second part of what I wanted to say, but themselves. I ask you to say it, themselves. This is a themselves thing. This is you thing, me thing. They devoted themselves. Again, another definition there. You can read what it is. To persist, to remain steadfast, to continue diligently, to give oneself continually something, to stick to it with intensity and resolve. There's not much stick-to-itness left. Is that okay to say that? Sticking to it. When you think of prayer, because that's where we're getting the next slide, is what we're headed towards is prayer. With one accord, with like-mindedness, with one passion. They devoted themselves to something. What are you giving yourself continually to? I got to be careful what I... There's not much stick to it left. Sticking to it. Sticking to a job. Sticking to a family. Sticking to a church. And it breaks God's heart when we just throw away the things that He values. We just take them lightly. We're not, there's not that devotion. I don't know how to say it nicely. I don't know how to say it in a way that's encouraging. But I do know that when we devote ourselves, when we devote to something, when we persist and we remain steadfast and we continue, good things happen. Whether it's the health in your body, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a congregation of people, sticking to it, sticking through thick and thin. You know how many marriages I've stood there and said, you know, better for worse, richer for poor. And they stand before God and we say that. And then, what? And I'm telling you, when we commit ourselves, give oneself continually, you know, stick to it with intensity, whatever the words are, it's like, man, things get done. It's good. You know, I've used the examples of my kids doing music lessons, and we had to beat them. It doesn't just happen. You don't just get the skill of playing guitar like an angel because you want it. Right? And I remember, and I've used this example, sorry, Melanie, taking her to her very, 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 very first violin lesson. Mr. Jadanye, or whatever his name was, she rolls her eyes right there. She hated that guy. She was about the size of Victoria, grade one, I guess, or whatever, I don't know. And he had this little quarter-sized violin, and this little thing. And I go into the room, and I've shared this before, sorry, but the very first lesson that I'm paying this guy money for is to know how to stand, and gives her a pen, and you hold this pen. I'm like, I'm paying you money for this? This is going to be a long process. So, 11 years later, I still remember when the Girls High had their concerts. Was it Girls High? I think, yeah. By then, she's in high school. She can play, but she's in this big group of violinists, and they're playing, and this whole concert, it's big. Like, they do things big in that part of the world. The Girls High that she was part of had 1,500 girls. Big. So when you have a choir or you have a music, it's big. And we're watching our daughter, of course. And she got off the notes. And the joke is, sorry, Melanie, but she just watched the other sticks going up and down. But there's enough to cover it. It's like when I sang the Hallelujah Chorus in Bible school. If any of you are at Northwest or Vanguard, I don't know if they still sing the Hallelujah Chorus at the end of the term. Me and I could name some guys. Maybe Terry was even in there. I don't know. I've heard some good stories from him this week about Bible school. But the Hallelujah Chorus is going. You know, I don't know if you know that chorus, but it starts going, Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. And you got about six groups going back there. So me and my friends, not as bad as Terry when he was the group was singing. We were actually in the choir. But then you just start hollering. Hallelujah! 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 Nobody cares. Nobody knows. This whole choir is just carrying everything. You just go with it. I don't know why I'm saying all that, but we... There's no stick-to-itness. Fake it till you make it. I don't know what to say, but it's like, don't quit. Just don't quit. I'm always amazed. I'm sorry, because not everything, but a lot of stuff I deal with is around church and church life and people, and you can understand why. But it's like, people will stand and make these declarations, whether it's a marriage. I don't want to go into marriage, but in front of God, in front of a church, or as part of a church, big declarations that don't seem to matter. And that, you know, and I know it's the brokenness of our lives, and I know our own hearts, and I know my own heart, but I believe God's calling us back to a devotion. Devotion to Him. A single-mindedness, a stick-to-itness, an intensity. I love when Nicole sings. If I start naming names, I'll miss some. I love when our worship teams, when they lead, and you know, Drew this morning, whoever, Toby, they all of a sudden it's just a bulge in their throat. Say, worship God. There's an intensity. There's a something drawing us out of us to come to worship God. And it's the same with the Word of God. It's the same with prayer. It's the same when we come together. There has to be this desire for it. And it, when it comes from each of us and we draw it out of one another, you know, many times on a Sunday I'm like, I don't really feel like singing. And then I get caught in the singing. I get caught in the worship. I get caught in the move of people's hearts and spirits. And a word will come and the prophetic will come and changes the atmosphere. Some are moving out of that bright sunlight. I see you. It's like a spotlight on you over there, Jen. You can't hide. Elijah, I see you. The Lord sees you. He's got his hand on you. In the old days, the prophetic would see, yeah, you with the light bulb over your head. The Lord wants to speak to you. Don't lose your passion. And I've already said it, but themselves. Nobody can put the passion into you. We have to stir ourselves up. We, you know, that's what Paul says, stir one another, stir yourself up and encourage yourself like David. And the Bible's full of that story. So fan into flame. You know, God's working, but he says, fan into flame the gift that was you received. Like, we have stuff to do. I'm going to say more about that in a minute when we come to the actual prayer. But it's like we cannot just be passive. We must be active. Let's look at prayer. Persistent. I made these rhyming head. I did pretty good. Persistent and consistent. Unity and community. Anticipation and preparation. And then the last one kind of lost it there. But they didn't, you know, persistent and consistent. They didn't just pray once or occasionally. They were steadfast and ongoing in prayer. It's a spiritual discipline, not a passing emotion. All of these are sermons, but grow your prayer muscle. Again, you do not just drift into prayer. You do not just drift into a righteous man, you know, fervent prayer. It can, you know, circumstance can kick you into it, but it's like, it's a choice. It's a decision. Even worship in a church or even prayer time, it's a choice we make. Okay, God, I'm here. Speak to me. But we need to grow our prayer muscle. I like the old Tanzanian guys used to always use the word push, pray until something happens. What do you expect when you're praying? Are you persistent? You know, the Bible talks about the lady who just keeps knocking on the door. And it's kind of a strange story Jesus tells of this woman who just will not quit. And what kind of picture of that, of God is that? But she just persistence. And because of her persistence, he gets up and he comes and answers the door. It's like God says, seek, knock, ask, you know, come, reason together, meet with me. We heard it in the prayer meeting this morning. It's like communion. We don't, God is just not this pantheist, you know, through space and just everything into, spun the earth into orbit. He is involved every day. He keeps the atoms moving right inside of our bodies. It's Him who we live and move and have our being right here, right now. God's with us. And he's saying, pray. And he commands us to pray. And he asks us to pray. And he answers prayer. And prayer is answered. And prayer is powerful. Amen? And it's the one thing we can do. And it's free. And everybody can do it. And you can do it anywhere. And the challenge is to be persistent and consistent. Is it a spiritual discipline in your life? Unity and community. This was corporate prayer. They are praying together as a group. We need each other to encourage each other and to equip each other. We are told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, especially as we see the days approaching. If there's one thing the devil's good at, it's getting us separated, getting us divided, getting us busy, getting us distracted, keeping us from one another, keeping us from moments when we can just encourage and strengthen and help one another. You think how short. Lori and I were talking about it driving back from Two Hills. We met with the Pastor Terry and Chantel there. They're planning to plant a church, and long story, we'll talk about another day. But as we're driving back, we're talking about the service, and what if we just did nothing this morning but pray? And I was giving her a hard time, but then I don't get to talk. But it's true. Like, think of the week of fasting and praying in January when you come together and people are just praying, dedicating themselves for that week, those days, fasting. There's just something that happens. When a community comes together, God answers. And we need to pray. You know, it's good to have individual prayer, but it's good when we pray together. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. And especially as we see the day approaching. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be a doomsdayer to just say, you know, there's stuff shaking on this planet right now. Man, are you ready? Are you ready for what's coming? Is your family strong? Is your marriage strong? Is your finances in a good place? Doesn't mean you got lots of it. I just mean, are you on top of it? Just, are you trusting God and walking with God and knowing God and hearing God and living with God? That's what prayer is. Prayer is both ways, speaking and hearing. You know, if you want a good book on prayer, did you Remember to Pray by R.T. Kendall? But he talks about, what is prayer? Why do we pray? What is prayer good for? If God's sovereign, God's in control. That's the other thing we were talking about last week, but just the one group of people, the Muslims, and their view of the world, and their view of God, and the view of the land, and the view of everything, and God's perspective, and God, a Christian's view of the world, and the land, and everything. One's cursed, one's blessed. And then you live that out, and you see what a heart for God can do, a passion for God do, a worldview of what God's created is amazing and beautiful, what that does. And that comes from a relationship with Him, talking to Him in prayer. And because I'm saying all that is, you know, in Tanzania, they have a saying, Inshallah, Haki ya Mungu, in Kiswahili, Haki ya Mungu. Righteousness of God. God knows. Inshallah, whatever will be, will be. And so you just sort of live this fatalistic, God's in control. Why? It's okay. And that's kind of how we pray. Okay, God. And He says, no, come to me. Bring your petitions. Seek my face. Seek, knock. You know, that's a picture of asking, seeking, and then knocking. Till something changes in me. Prayer is not necessarily about changing God. It's about changing us, lining us up with God and calling on Him and having the faith of God, which means our prayers get in line with who He is. And He's the one who determines the outcomes. And we put our trust and our faith in Him. And we do that as a community. Anticipation and participation. Number three on this little thing here. Jesus had told them to wait for the Holy Spirit. Their devotion to prayer shows they were actively waiting, not passively waiting, but preparing their hearts. And this is, you know, from David, Psalm 92, Psalm 109, somewhere around verse 6 or 8. You can read it. They fulfilled in, so here they are, they're waiting for the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. They're obeying Jesus. He tells them to wait. They devoted themselves to unity. They come together in one accord, and they're praying. And in those days, in that time, they remember Psalm, the Word of God, the prophecy from the Old Testament. We need to replace Judas. And so to fulfill the Scripture, to fulfill what God was spoken, in this time of prayer, they cast lots. And they throw the dice. And Matthias is chosen. You're still in the spotlight, Elijah. You can run, but you can't hide over there. And in the midst of this persistent, consistent, devoted, united, praying, asking God, they did something. So my point is, pray and do something about it. Because here's the deal. When the Holy Spirit is poured out in a few days, the anointing comes, the blessing comes. It's for a purpose to then live it out. And that's where, in my history, in the background, and I could tell long stories, where churches or groups or movements failed. They waited on God. They persisted. The blessings come. The change has come. The worship is amazing. They sense the Word of God. The prophetic is spoken. Lives are changed. And then they did nothing. They tried to make that experience, that moment, that special camp meeting, couple days at camp, that becomes the thing. But that's not it. The thing, that anointing, that pouring out of the Spirit, is then to get up and go and do the work of Jesus. And it's in the going, it's in the doing, it's in the moving, it's in the getting out of the boat, it's in the giving your tithes and offerings and your life and stepping out. Jeanette's leaving tomorrow for Mozambique again. That's not easy. We just talked to her this morning. Just the first time since her mother's passing. It's a different era, a different time, and it hits you. What am I doing? This is costing. And you say, I'm going to do it for God. I'm going to step out for God. God's anointed me for such a time as this. Jesus said, the anointing is on. Open the eyes of the blind, set the captive free. You know the verses. And that anointing is for us. So the question is, then what do you do with it? And the answer is not go to Africa necessarily. The answer is change. Be nice. Love your family. I don't know. I could list a bunch of things. What is God challenging you by blessing you with much? What's He challenging you to do? You have to obey God, just like I have to obey God, like everyone has to obey God. What is it that God wants me to do? And so, in the midst of this praying, they cast dice, and they choose a new disciple to replace Judas and fulfill the prophecy, the prophetic of God. And we're going to see next weekend, Lord willing, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And we've not limited Frank to what he has to preach or anything. But we're believing that just as we walk in the Scriptures and we walk in Christian life together, and as we are persistent and united and anticipating and depending on God, that He's going to answer. Yeah. He's going to touch families. Yeah. He's going to heal homes. He's going to bless. And we need those highlights. Trust me, okay? I'm not against highlights, so don't hear what I'm not saying. I want to highlight every Sunday. I want just to know God's with me. I want to know that there's power in the name of Jesus. Trust me. I want those. We need those. And then we get up and we serve the Lord. Amen? Are you ready for that? You're ready to pray? Are you ready to devote ourselves? Like, God help us. God help us to commit ourselves to be consistent, to be persistent, to be steadfast, to be holders on, committed. And that might refer to a lot of things in life, jobs and marriage and family and honesty and whatever. But may it be true about our walk with Jesus. Our walk with Him. Hallelujah. I'll end with this. If there's one group of people that can get what they want from me, it's my grandchildren. You know why? Persistence. You cannot sidetrack them. You can bribe them. You can beat them. Of course, I never beat my grandkids. Not yours, anyhow. Maybe only Kyle's. He's not here. They just won't. They don't quit till they get what it is. A show, Grandpa, a show. They want to watch a show. And my generation, we didn't. There's only three channels or one anyhow, and most of the time it's black and white. So watch until you're blind. Nobody cared, but we didn't watch TV because it was so boring and did all our horses and stuff on the farm. But today there's just multimedia's coming. And so all my kids who have kids, they're like, they can come to stay over, but no TV. And then we sneak in a little bit. But they're such honest kids, they'll say, we watched 40 shows today. And they're like, thanks a lot, Ben. And could be a little quieter about these things. We ate 16 bowls of cereal and ice cream. Can we be persistent in prayer? Can we ask God for big things? You know, His anointing, His presence, His power to witness, for this church to thrive, to reach more, to reach out, to strengthen other churches, to go to the ends of the earth, whatever. Can we be persistent in it? Can we be in one accord? Can we be devoted to prayer, to speaking with God personally and in community? That's my challenge to you this morning. I'm going to invite the band to come. We're going to close out with a song. The picture I have on my heart, and then I'll let you close how you want, Lori, but it's just from the prayer meeting this morning and what I said during communion is just the name of Jesus to be on our lips. And whatever that means to you, I don't know, but I want His name to be the first confession of my mouth. I want His presence. I want His closeness. I don't know how to express it, but just that we as a group, I'm going to ask you to stand. Is this okay? I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And I'm asking everyone in the room, everyone in the room, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, please ask Him into your life. Please let Him be Lord of your life. If you want prayer, I'll pray with you. But I'm asking everyone in the room this morning just to, there could just be a oneness and an accord of our hearts this morning. Just for a moment, just for a time. And if it helps you to close your eyes or just to close in with the Lord. But let's just take a moment and let Jesus be on our lips. Let Jesus be close to us. And as a body, as a church this morning together, this is about the size of the upper room, the crowd was there. All of these, including Mary and Jesus' brothers and the disciple, all of them, were in one accord, and they devoted themselves in prayer. And I'm asking you to do that with me this morning for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Be free, you guys.